Welcome to MindTap, a scientific perspective on mental health. Each week, we will investigate a unique aspect of mental health, providing insights from individuals and the local community. Last week on MindTap, I spoke with Emma Watts, a remarkable ISU freshman who has collaborated on a mental health guidebook called Mind Matters. Mind Matters provides a comprehensive overview of mental health concerns in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic and has a focus on students and teachers. Students may be particularly susceptible to mental health challenges during the pandemic because they're away from home, away from their normal support networks, and may feel a sense of social isolation. And of course, this is not helped by a continued but necessary transition to online learning. This week on MindTap, I continue my exploration of what it's like to be a student during the COVID-19 pandemic. Later in the episode, I get a chance to speak to ISU President Kevin Satterley about what challenges ISU students face, the problem of social isolation, the question of online learning, and the university's COVID-19 response. But first, to gain a clinical perspective, I speak to Hannah Brinzer, a doctoral student in the Counsellor Education and Counselling Programme, and find out what more students can do to promote their own mental well-being. I started by asking Hannah, what is the major challenge to students' mental health during the pandemic?
I think the social isolation is probably the biggest issue that we face, and I think that's what's causing all of these other mental health symptoms to kind of exacerbate. Mental health symptoms were always there. We've always had issues with mental health, but I think COVID and the pandemic has made it so much more prevalent and worse in many ways.
As Hannah mentioned, social isolation is a real challenge for students. In simple terms, we can suffer from the effects of social isolation when we're not able to mix and interact with other people. A scientific study published in the Journal of Psychiatry Research reported that college students' mental health was correlated with their level of social interactions. The study also found that students who live away from home or have family or friends infected with COVID-19 reported higher levels of anxiety and depression.
None of this is normal and none of this is okay, and it is hard. And I think in society and even in academia, we expect things continue to function as normal. And I think it's just impossible to have that expectation on ourselves and for ourselves.
Hannah is a specialist in grief and loss, and that is a crucial subject right now. Tragically, hundreds of thousands of Americans have died from COVID-19. However, Hannah explains that grief is subjective to each of us, and it can be experienced without losing somebody. I asked Hannah how we should handle grief during this uncertain time.
Know that your reaction is totally normal and valid. Everyone copes differently. Some people cope by isolating, some people cope by clinging on to other people. And so whatever your reaction in this experience of grief and loss, which it is, you haven't necessarily had to lose someone to COVID to be feeling these feelings of grief and loss. This pandemic in general triggers those feelings for so many people. And so just know that whatever your reaction to that is, that it's totally normal, it's totally valid, and don't let yourself minimize it, because I know it's easy to say, well, people are dying and someone in my life hasn't died, so they have it way worse than me and I shouldn't be upset right now. Don't allow yourself to do that, because this stuff is hard. Give yourself as much grace as possible and know that David Kessler, he's this researcher in the area of grief and loss, he always says, the worst loss is always yours. And I think that just holds so true to COVID. Whether you've lost a son or a mother or a friend, or maybe just someone in your community has died, or maybe you didn't go to your prom last year or you didn't get to graduate, the worst loss is always yours.
While students can be independent and socially responsible during the pandemic, their day-to-day activities are at least in part influenced by the decisions taken by the university administration. For example, the university or even an individual professor can choose to either hold their classes online or in person. The university has a responsibility and a duty of care for its students, staff and faculty, and needs to respond and react to the ever-evolving conditions of this pandemic. So who better to discuss this with than current ISU president, Kevin Satterley?
The issue of mental health among college students is not new. It is something we need to deal with. But the pandemic has compounded that and added this new level, which is this loss of human connection. So we have to constantly talk about we are a community. We have to get through this together, faculty, staff, and students all together, that we have to come together and talk about that human connection and maintain that human connection. So if everyone can remember, we will get through this as a community by coming together. And then everybody has to be intentional about their relationships. Those things that would normally grow organically and just happen, we have to be intentional about them. Reaching out to people, asking, how are you doing? I think I've asked the question, how are you doing, to more people in the last 6 months than I had, any amount of time before that, because I want to know and I want to ask.
President Satterley acknowledged that the issue of social isolation is a challenge for students right now. So I asked him, does the university have a responsibility to tackle this problem and provide help for students?
I believe the university has an inherent responsibility about the mental health of our students. When we talk about education, you cannot say that it's just about what you learn in the classroom. We are trying to educate whole persons to go out in society and be what we need people to be in society. A big part of that is people's mental health and well-being.
I continued by asking President Satterley what additional steps the university has taken to respond to the elevated threat to students' mental health that is presented by the pandemic.
We've tried to add, we are resource strapped as an institution, but we've tried to add more resources to our counseling center. We have tried to make sure it's visible. We tried to make sure we are talking about those things. And I think it goes beyond even just the counseling center. It's everywhere. It's in the way someone interacts with a financial aid counselor, the way someone interacts with any employees on the campus. We all have to be mindful of mental health and that we're all in this together. It's that sense of community that helps us as a society move forward when we all care for each other and have that compassion. Mental health in general can no longer be the thing that is a stigma. We have to get rid of that. We have to bring it and put light on it. We have to talk about it.
But as the number of COVID-19 cases rise, we've seen an increasing transition to online learning. I asked President Satterley if he believes we can incorporate the conversation on mental health into the online learning context. Or is this something that should be left to the experts at the Counseling and Testing Center?
No, I really think it's about how we integrate it into our whole educational product. I would love it if we could get that built into everything that we do, whether it's in student housing, whether it's in student activities, whether it's in the classroom, that we all understand that this is a major part of what we do. And I would encourage any faculty member to be accommodating and to have those conversations, recognizing that that's not everyone's skill set either, that it's unfair to ask someone, hey, will you make sure you address these mental health issues if they don't know how, they've never been trained for it, they don't have the educational background.
Yeah, so perhaps there's like a need for educating the educators.
Exactly, right. Yeah. One thing that I love about education is everyone needs more education and can always learn more. So some of our faculty and our staff, it would be patently unfair to say, well, you have to address these mental health issues when they don't know how and have never been trained on it. So you start with awareness. Make sure they're aware these are out there and that they have the information they need to point students and guide them to where they need to be. That's step one. And then hopefully later, as people become more aware and more educated, then we can work those into more classroom and other settings. But really, you have to start with understanding that not everyone is prepared to deal with those and isn't capable. And we shouldn't ask that of them, because it could then impact their mental health as they feel the burden of having to do it. So we start with awareness. We start with making sure we have the resources and guidance. And then eventually we can work this into the larger picture.
Thank you very much to both my guests this week. Next week, I conclude this mini three-part series on being a student during the pandemic, where we hear more from President Satterley and speak to Erin Miller, an ISU counselling student, and Dr. Ryan Manwaring, a clinical psychopharmacologist. Join me, Scott Greaves, for MindTap, Friday morning at 7:35 a.m.